Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Back in the studio, one-on-one, face-to-face, finally, my father, John Butcher, is in the studio. How are you doing?
Bam!
I'm doing We're back.
Yeah, man, how are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent for Character Month. This is my favorite category.
Woo, is it?
This is the category that I'm most fascinated by.
Boy, that's a good category to have as your favorite, Joe.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's definitely not my strongest, but the one that makes me the most interested and piques my interest
that's
the most.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, especially,
I did not know that.
Especially as a student of history, you know, that's what you connect with when you look back on people in the past.
And yeah, so
that kind of ties into what you're saying today. We have a big thought to share. We were talking about off the air. If you could just share a little bit about it, you know, we talk about gratitude a lot and this world that we live in now and how it came to be.
Yeah, you know, and this is, I'm just going to say that this may be politically incorrect. I'm not sure because I usually don't think about stuff like that. But I will share things with Lifebook members that I would not share with, you know, basically publicly.
Right.
And the thought was this, you know, my generation gets a lot of heat for the world that we handed millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And millennials get a lot of heat for
we're handling it.
For how you're handling
yeah.
it. And for, I mean, you know, a lot of things are coming down right now and busting apart.
Yep.
But as I look at what's going on right now and some of the frustrations that I'm working through in, internally and sort of trying to define a message that I think Missy and I want to focus on for the next few years, I don't feel that we handed the millennials a bad world. I think we handed the millennials a miracle world.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking about my generation. This goes back probably five generations. I'd say turn of the last century between 1900 and 1920-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, well, it would have to be after 1920 because we've eradicated the three major killers of human beings in history. Those three being pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half the world friggin' dies,
yeah.
right?
Right.
20 million people die of influenza, or half of Europe dies in 1340 of bubonic plague. It's been one of the biggest killers in history. Gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Famine.
Mm-hmm.
Just 100 million people die in China in the 20th
Mass starvation.
Century.
In the 1800s, the number of people who were starving on the globe was outrageous.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff,
yeah.
right? And nonstop war everywhere on the globe, which is what it used to be.
Real war, nations right. warring against each other.
Exactly.
Millions of people dying under gunfire.
Do not think that I'm saying that we don't have any problems. What I am saying is that we've eradicated the three major killers of human beings in history. We also handed millennials a world that where they have the answer to every question they could ever care to ask in their pockets at the speed of light
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of other magic stuff. What we didn't hand them, unfortunately, is the historical knowledge and the character traits that they need to understand it and to be grateful for it.
And to navigate it.
We have dead yeah. ass failed
yeah.
well, when it came to that.
You know what I think it is I don't think you didn't think you needed that. If we solved all the problems, our problems are going to be over. No, new problems raised up.
Well,
strange.
Well, I'll tell you, we've resurrected a lot of the old problems.
That's also true.
We really have. And the problems that we have now are internal. They're not external.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Precisely.
There's like, if you get 20,000 people in a stadium, and you talk about racism and sexism and gender issues and all that stuff, and those 20,000 people agree that they're just going to have an internal shift right now and stop that stuff. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Stop. Just completely let it go.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It's eradicated. It's not for that 20,000 people in
right.
that moment.
Right.
It's an internal shift that needs to occur. This is not an external situation.
You couldn't do that with disease. You can't get 20,000 diseased people.
You couldn't do that with
yeah.
200,000 Mongols storming your town. you can't just make an internal shift and make that problem go away.
Right.
Most of the problems in our country are literally in our minds.
Yes.
Literally in our minds.
Doesn't mean they're not true either.
Does not mean they're not true. I'm not saying they're imaginary.
Right.
I'm saying that they are mental.
Yes.
Versus physical.
That's true.
So I just feel like I feel personally called to do a show on history, Jordan, and to friggin' teach people what it was like. In 1900, 94% of the Earth's population lived in what would be characterized today as extreme poverty. Today,
wow.
that number is 10%.
Wow.
It is absolutely shocking what we've done as a species. And it's even more shocking that people don't know that, they don't understand it, and they're not grateful for it.
Yeah.
And I feel personally called to help people understand that I am grateful every friggin' day for what I have and for this amazing world around me. Mm-hmm. Every single person in the United States of America that's got running water and a toilet and electricity is living in the top 1% of all human beings who have ever lived in history.
Oh, yeah.
But what we're doing is we got our 1%. Now we're all in the top 1% of all human beings who have ever lived on this planet. But now inside of that 1%,
We're fighting over the
one, the
percentile,
the top
the percentile.
One. Exactly. Yeah. So this is where we've just gone off the rails. And I don't see an easy way through it. And
right.
I want to contribute by helping people understand that right now we could be, instead of taking a look at this world and seeing it in the horrendously negative light that people are seeing it in, it's a simple mind shift that could allow them to be grateful and thankful for what they have and just completely change the way that they view things. Start empowering people. Start helping actual people.
Mm-hmm.
Stop pointing your finger at everybody around you and look inside yourself, right?
Is there a crisis of character in our country right now, 100%?
I think
look at the government. Everybody makes fun of the government for a bunch of lying politicians who never go through with what they... There's a crisis of character, not amongst just the people who are in charge, but the citizenry who is cannibalizing itself.
You know, Jordan, I haven't thought about this issue deeply enough to really be able to say that, but I have a strong belief right now that my generation failed to pass on some super valuable information.
Yeah.
We passed on some great stuff,
right,
but we did not pass on some super valuable information, history being one of the areas that we failed in, and character being another area,
yes,
that I think we failed
for
in.
For sure, yeah.
Right?
And I think that that's the majority of the people walking around out there.
Exactly.
People who just didn't get that.
I mean, I look at how my kids, who were raised with the concept of self-responsibility, raised with the concept of freedom and mutual respect, and how well you guys are doing. You don't
right.
live in the same world that everybody else lives in. Literally, my kids do not live in that world because it's all mental.
Yeah,
it's friggin' mental.
Yeah,
where you don't. There's no riots in the street. There's no. We're not seeing this nation physically on fire. There's no wars happening out there.
But it feels like it.
But it feels
you
like
feel
it.
The heat. Yeah,
it's all mental. And you said it. I'm not saying it's imaginary. I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying that it is mental.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't live in that world.
Right.
They live in an empowered world where they're grateful and thankful and just seeing the future as, you know, very, very bright.
Yes, and an infinite future and an infinite past and you know, a multitude of different locations across the globe. We see humanity as a whole. There's so much of this is because of our bubble. We're in a historical bubble. We're in a geographical bubble.
Right.
We're in a ideological bubble.
Yep.
And when bubbles bump up against each other,
right,
man, that gets ugly.
And dude, that is exactly how I view the world right now. You've got your race bubble. You got your sex bubble. You got your gender bubble. You got your religion bubble. You got your class, rich versus poor bubble.
You got your politics,
you got all these,
and your medicine.
And by the time you're done adding them all up, it's like, how the hell do we get through this shit?
The human brain was never meant.
You know what Buddha said about it? He said, the only thing you can do is walk away. Literally, no, he said, this is what you got to do. You
got
to walk away from hate. There's nothing else you can do.
Wow.
And I don't see a road through this. I don't see, I mean, literally, at some point, you're just going to have to say, I'm not going to participate anymore. I'm literally not going to participate in the negativity anymore. I'm going to wake up every day and try to be the best person I can, try to help the people around me, try to be a productive member of society, and try to be grateful for the life that I'm literally not giving it any more energy.
Wow.
I'll tell you this, if everyone did that, we wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
But you know everyone's not going to do that.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a tough...
It's an idealistic thought, but there's some serious, serious truth
well,
and power,
I'm literally,
power behind it.
I'm planning on it.
All right. I love it. Well, we got this great list of questions here. Want to just jump right in?
Sure.
All right. First question coming from Joe. If you have to choose one character trait as the most important thing for creating and living an extraordinary life, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, you know, we used to ask every Lifebook participant after every Lifebook live session, what did you choose as the character trait that you wanted to most develop in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a resounding favorite. I would guess that at least 50%, if not more than 50% of people pick this character trait of self-discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the tough one.
Self-discipline is a character trait that a lot of the other ones stand up on top of,
mm-hmm.
right? The ability to get yourself to do what you know you should do when you should do it, whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing character trait. But I would say that there's something even foundational to self-discipline that is even more important in my mind. And that's the character trait of self-responsibility,
mm-hmm.
of personal self-responsibility, meaning literally the ability to respond is what that word means. Self-responsibility is the ability to respond to the situations in which you find yourself.
Properly and healthily. Yeah.
And, you know, to me, self-responsibility entails the belief that my life is mine. I own it. It's up to me to make my life the way that I want it to be. There is no knight in shining armor coming to my rescue. No one's coming to make my life right. If I want to live a great life, I'm going to have to figure out what that means and what I need to do and then go do it. It's up to me to develop more of the ability to respond to the situations in which I find myself in my life, to make my life the way I want it to be. I think that that's what the world needs right now more than anything else.
Yes.
I literally think that if more people practiced self-responsibility and really got a grip on their own lives, that's the answer to all of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the lack of it is the source of all of our problems.
I agree with that for sure. And I want to ask you where internalizing fits in with self-responsibility really quick, because maybe it's the first step, maybe it's just a facet of it, maybe it's an overarching principle, but the ability to internalize something, by which I mean something happens and you have two options: to externalize, oh, screw that guy, he did it, it was his fault, it was, you know, mm-hmm. I tripped over this thing because this person left it there, externalized. Or you can turn it in and go, God damn, I tripped over this thing because I wasn't looking where I'm going. I'm no longer going to do that.
Exactly.
This internalizing versus externalizing thing is something I've been really fascinated with, and that's really tied into the self-responsibility virtue, right?
Right. It doesn't mean you have to take responsibility for every single thing that happens in the universe.
Right.
But what it does mean, it's what we taught you kids, Jordan. You know, you have the freedom to operate in this world the way you choose,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to take responsibility for the choices you make. You do not assign blame to other
right.
people for the choices you make.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. You take responsibility for those things. And so I think that you don't want to go blaming yourself for everything that happens
that's
in the
true.
Universe either.
There's sin on that side for sure.
Exactly.
That's
right?
A good point.
But I mean, Buddha said, it's much more valuable to be able to identify one fault in yourself than 1,000 faults in others.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that
exactly
a great
what
quote?
I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. And so we live in a world where all we're doing is identifying the faults in others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really gotten us into a bad place. Everybody wants change. Nobody wants to change.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. So I do think, you know, when things go wrong in your life, the first thing you should do is look inside. The first thing you should do is, and it's not always there, but
exactly. That's a good starting point.
But it's a good starting point.
Nailed it. Exactly. Next question coming from Tasha. How would you define integrity, and what are some ways you've built it into your own life?
Well, I define integrity, which is one of the pillars, one of the six pillars of self-esteem, as coherence or alignment in what you think, what you say, and what you do.
Mm.
It's when the thoughts in your brain and the words that come out of your mouth and your actions are all in alignment and don't contradict each other.
Mm-hmm.
A person with integrity doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
A person with integrity, and by the way, it's a neutral term. Hitler had integrity.
Right.
Hitler had alignment in what he thought, what he said, and what he did. It was just all evil.
Right. That's a good point.
So this integrity isn't
necessarily a good thing.
It's neutral. It's neutral. So all it means is alignment,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of the pillars of self-esteem, because if you don't have integrity, if you don't have alignment between what you say and what you do, or what you think and what you do, you can't trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You believe one way, but then you go and do another thing. And
absolutely.
That is really hard on your self-esteem. So, I learned a lot about integrity through Nathaniel Brandon. And I don't necessarily have any strategies to practice integrity. I can't live without integrity. I literally could not operate. I wouldn't know how to make decisions. I couldn't function,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you know, and Lifebook is one of the tools that I've used to really gain clarity on what I think.
I was just going to say that. I think objectiveness is, I mean, I guess that's a character trait in itself, but objectiveness and integrity go hand in hand, because if you live in, you know, fanciful fairy world, you're never going to really know what's going on. You know
objectivity.
What I mean? Yes.
Objectivity. That's exactly right. Bringing a little reason and rationality mm-hmm. to your life. But, you know, like I was saying, I've used Lifebook as a way to get crystal clear on what I think. And then I don't say anything that is, you know, not in integrity with what I think. I just am not that person. I don't lie because, you know, I never lie mm-hmm. because that's just doesn't work for me. It makes no sense. It's like completely stupid.
Right.
I would never. It doesn't make my life go good. It makes my life go bad. Right. And Lifebook is also, you know, once it helps you think through what you believe. And, you know, what your basically thought positions are, your philosophy, it's a great way to make sure your actions are in alignment.
It's a roadmap.
It's a roadmap.
It's a roadmap for sure. Yeah. And you know, integrity is a weird thing, because if you don't have any of that stuff defined, how are you going to be?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just
then it's just vibey. Then it's just vibey.
Yes.
But that can work too
for
intuitive people. That can work.
Yeah. Healthy people who are raised well.
I like the objectivity of thinking it through.
Yeah.
At least once.
Yeah, and yeah.
And then you know where you stand, and precisely. Then that helps you know how to behave.
That's right. Good luck, Tasha. Next question, coming from Christine. It takes time to know someone deeply, who they really are deep inside. What are some tips for observing someone's character from the get-go? Do you have any strategies for reading people early on in a relationship? What a fantastic question.
It is, and I'll tell you who is one of the best I've ever seen at this is you.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
You know, you're an expert at this. I've seen you do it multiple times, just read people and nail it on a vibe.
Yeah.
I remember once years ago, you met the person that we were getting ready to hire as a president of one of my companies. And you were like, that person is no good. You like pulled me aside. And I'm like, well, we'll see.
I said,
2 years
off,
later,
yeah.
It's like, geez, you were right about that one, man. But I've seen you do that a few times. So why don't you answer? I suck at it, Jordan. I just believe anything everyone says, you know, I'm the worst at sort of like instantly assessing somebody's character.
Totally. I mean, I think part of it is wiring. I hate to say that. I hate when I ask Kenny Aronoff, like how he works so hard and how like he's so badass, and he said I was born this way.
But
it's a little bit of a letdown.
It's not particularly helpful.
Yeah. I do a lot by looking at faces and eyes. Mm-hmm. I think it's really I think it is an intuitive action.
Paying attention to how you feel when you observe.
100%. The other thing I would say is and this isn't necessarily first impressions, but when you're getting to know someone, generally an object in motion tends to stay in motion.
Mm-hmm.
People who give people the benefit of the doubt can oftentimes be like, oh, well, they were just acting that way because of one incident, or like, you know, they just drank that once, drank that much once and acted like that, whatever it is. Usually people pick up steam. Sometimes people change courses, but I like to see people who are on the way up. And you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, trajectories don't really take hard left courses, hard left turns when you're dealing with adults.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How you do anything is how you do everything. And you are kind of, you're on that path.
And you don't want to be cynical and say no one can change and get better.
Right.
But when I'm trying to get to know someone, I see the small sample size and I kind of extrapolate it out.
That's good.
And other than that, it is an intuitive process. And I'm a big fan of looking at faces and reading faces, smiles and eyes.
What I would say is, and like I said, I'm really not good at this. I'm not good at hiring people. I'm not good at it because I literally, Missy and I just believe in
this guy's great.
Says, yeah, he's great. And he says he can do this. I'm sure he can do it. So we leave that to other people now. But I will tell you that over the years, I've developed pretty much a zero tolerance policy early on in a relationship. You know, someone lies and I absolutely know that's one data point. That's all I need.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
And I'm not trying to be an ass. And judge people, but it's just like if that comes up, something like that, just simply not going to go there. How you do anything is how you do everything. And of course, that's not always true, but it's true enough that That's a big, big red flag for me.
Yeah, especially as an adult. It's one thing if it's a young person, but if you're dealing with someone who's like in their 40s or 50s and they lie to you straight up, I don't need to be around that person for much longer to realize they're probably a liar.
Right. That's true. And the other side is also true. I've seen people do things that are so good and so spontaneous. It's like, I know everything I need
that's
to know
all
about
I need
that
to
person.
Know. Exactly.
That's all I need to know. I can trust that person with my life.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that everyone needs to kind of develop their own strategy for trying to read people. It's super important.
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah.
Hope that was helpful, Christine. Great question. Next question coming from Joanna. In your experience, what has been the perfect balance of habits to track? I was doing great, and then as I added more, I got completely off track. Do you have advice for how to, one, find the right number of habits and traits that someone is capable of working on simultaneously, and two, the best way to get back on track when you've fallen off?
Joanna, I had that exact same thing happen to me. I've always, you know, when I started 12-Dot, I guess it was probably started with the name 12-Dot, so there must have been 12. I went lower, and I went higher, and I went way higher. Like, at one time, I had 22, 23.
Whoa.
Impossible.
Impossible.
It was like, okay, this was supposed to make my life easier and better, and it really was just, it was stress-inducing.
Wow.
So I literally had her exact same experience. My perfect number of habits to track is 12 plus 1. I have a bonus.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's 12 and a bonus habit. And my bonus habit used to be, and I guess still is, I'd have to look at my sheet, 0 negative thinking today.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a great habit, man. That was a game changer habit for me to put in. And I'm not a big negative thinker,
mm-hmm.
but we could all afford to pay a little bit of attention to that.
Yeah,
right?
And oftentimes when you do pay attention to it, you're like, oh my God,
exactly.
There's way more here than I originally
exactly
thought.
Exactly what happened
That's
to
always
me.
What happens to me.
So I would say, yeah, you definitely don't want to get yourself overwhelmed here. This is a tool that is supposed to help you keep track of the most important behaviors. My number is 12 plus 1. And, you know, I just think that we all have to kind of find our own comfort level here.
And I think you have a good grading system, too. You try to knock out 8. So between 6 and 8 makes you feel good, you said? 10 is like a really good day?
80% would be a giant win for me.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what that means. I guess that
like
means
nine.
Yeah. Like 9. Yeah. That's about right.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And for me, falling off is the hard part. That was my biggest thing with 12-Dot is when I would fall off for a little bit, you fall off all the way.
Yeah.
And just as deeply as you get into the groove, you slip out of the groove. But mm-hmm. I think the best thing you can do is just pull motivation from anywhere you can, including this podcast. Joanna, I believe in you. Just go do it right now.
Well, that's what it is. You just got to start.
You
again.
Can totally do it, Joanna. And
you
we're giving you the permission
again.
Right now.
Well, let me tell you, Joanna, if you got overwhelmed because you gave yourself too many habits, definitely cut that back. Same mm-hmm. thing happened to me. I made that same mistake. Cut it back, start again, get in a groove. This is such a great tool to use. This allows you to take control of your character, take control of the person you're becoming.
Yes.
Take control of those virtues you're trying to build into your life as habits. It's a big deal.
Awesome. We believe in you, Joanna. Go kill it. Next question coming from Anonymous. What is your best advice for making a new habit stick and become something authentic? I feel I have to put a lot of energy and focus on my habits in order for them to stay around and do what I want. Will it always be like this?
No, of course it won't always be like that. A habit, what a habit is an automatic form of repetition. It gets so ingrained that it becomes second nature, but it takes a lot of effort to get it up and running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all heard that 21 days is the normally accepted time that you have to do a habit straight in order for it to become a habit. I think it depends on the person, and I think it depends on
the habit.
On the habit in
for
question.
Sure, yeah.
But the bottom line is there is absolutely no other way around it right now because we don't have programmable chips in our head, which we might, 5 years from now. But the bottom line is that right now, it's you got to do it manually, man, which means practice until it becomes second nature.
Yeah.
Do you brush your teeth every night? How much energy does that take? Well, you learned how to do that. And that's what you need to do with meditation. You need to do with your green smoothie and you need to do with exercise. You need to do with delighting your love, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it second nature if you do it over and over and over and over again until you just get so used to it, it becomes who you are.
I mean, imagine teaching a kid to brush their teeth and how much of a fight they can put up and how much of a, you're just trying to do that to your adult brain about something else.
That's
the wall you're running into, man. I've totally been there, by the way.
Yep.
totally have been there, but
a lot of front end effort, but it's worth it. It's worth that front end effort.
It is, yeah. And what's the other option, man? Just forge ahead. We believe in you. There's only one road. There's only one way out, which is forward. Next question coming from Andrew. I would love to know your recipe for creating some of the following virtues: kindness, silence, and justice.
Well, I don't have a recipe for silence, though I do, but I do love silence, though. I value it. I love just quieting my mind, not necessarily like formal meditation. I just love feeling my life experience with no thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do it, and I walk around my yard and in nature and just quiet my mind. I don't really necessarily have I didn't have a conscious recipe. I don't have a recipe for justice, and I don't necessarily run into the need, I feel like I have a need for a recipe for that particular thing. I don't tend to need to exercise a lot of justice these days now that you guys are grown up.
That's exactly right.
I do have a recipe for kindness, and it's just being nice to people. It's just, I mean, and geez, Jordan, this is what we're just in such a show right now. And this is, you know, if people would just be nice to people.
Yes.
I think we're having a lot of the conversations we need to have. I think that, you know, in the United States of America, as awful as the environment is right now, as emotionally toxic, I think that a lot of the issues that are being talked about
are
need
real
to be
issues,
talked
yeah.
about. But God, can't we be nice to each other?
Yeah.
Can't we just be kind?
Civil
yeah,
is a
civil.
Word that used to come up a lot.
You know what I mean? Let's go ahead and talk about all the stuff we're talking about, but we don't have to be so friggin' hateful.
Yeah.
The way you know, the recipe for kindness is just be nice, say something nice, be encouraging. We know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what's weird, though? We know how to do it in person.
Oh, yeah, good point.
But online, it's way harder. It's harder to be nice online. It's so much easier to be evil. I don't know what it is. If you can't smile while you're typing something, you can't, like, there needs to be some sort of smile font.
I think it's easy to be nice online. I also think it's easy to be mean online.
True.
I think when you're face-to-face with somebody, it's easy to be nice, and I think it's hard to be mean.
That's absolutely right.
Right?
I guess what I'm saying is it's not that it's hard to be nice to someone online. It's that there's when you take out the connection of eye contact and a smile, it creates an extra barrier. You have to really get the point across that you're trying to be positive. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I have seen the internet turn really, really people that were really nice live into total assholes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I, like shocking.
Yeah.
Like, what? Who are you? Are seriously?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it is super easy to be mean online. I think that's one of our big issues,
one of the big problems,
right now.
Yeah. But as far as kindness, you know, it's about, I think it is about connection, and it's the little things, I also believe. And it goes back to what you were saying, which is if you really want a better society, instead of externalizing, building from your own little yard out, you know what I mean?
100%, man.
Just taking control of what's in your space and, you know, smiling at someone personally, that's the best you can do.
So what I'm saying, Jordan, is that the answer to all of our problems is each one of us taking responsibility for ourselves. And the source of all of our problems is that we don't do that.
That's exactly right.
You know, and obviously that's a giant generalization, but you get the point. It's, you know, so yeah. And this is what Missy and I are dedicating our lives to. Literally dedicating our lives to spreading this message that you are the decision maker at the center of your own existence. Nothing mm-hmm. matters more than your ability to see the world through your own eyes and to shape yourself and your life the way that you want it to be. And to, you know, to take full responsibility for your inner world and do everything you can to make your outer world great. Help the people around you every once in a while. And if we all just did that, this world would be such a better place than we've got right now.
Absolutely right. Hope that helps, Andrew. Final question coming from Barbara. I have a problem with self-confidence and procrastination. I hesitate to do the things that I want to do because of fear. I should be more adept being the young age of 66. I've just started a network marketing career, and having those traits does not help me. What can I do?
Well, listen, young lady. The lack of self-confidence and procrastination are both, in my opinion, signs of low self-esteem.
Mm.
Well, the definition of self-esteem, according to Dr. Brandon, my mentor, is confidence to cope with the basic challenge of life. So lack of self-confidence is like built into the fabric of self-esteem. Mm. And it makes sense. You can see how they're connected, because if you're not confident in your ability, you're going to hesitate. Procrastination, right?
Yeah.
That's what procrastination is all about, hesitating, not being able to get off the dime. And so I would highly recommend Nathaniel Brandon's Six Pillars of Self-Esteem. That book is awesome, and it's a just a great sort of short, easy read starter book for really understanding this incredibly important character trait, one of the most important. I mean, Nathaniel spent his entire life, the most intelligent man I've ever known, spent his entire life exploring this subject. He wrote 20 books about self-esteem. Wow. It's an important issue, super important character trait. The other program that I would recommend is called Succeeding Through Inner Strength, and that's an audio course, Succeeding Through Inner Strength. It's easy listen, 6-part series, and you can find that on NathanielBrandon.com. So yeah, I would absolutely dig into the subject of self-esteem to help you increase your self-confidence and help you stop procrastinating. One of the pillars of self-esteem, one of the six pillars, is living purposefully. Mm. So self-esteem is the reputation you have with yourself. Self-esteem is how you view yourself, how you feel about yourself, and it will determine basically all of your behavior. And one of the six tenets is that people who live a purposeful life, where they have a mission, they know what they're doing here, they know what they're all about, they know who they are and what their life is all about. Mm-hmm. They're constantly moving forward purposefully. That is one of the things that gives you self-esteem.
Right.
One of the things that increases your reputation with yourself.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So procrastination is the opposite of purposefulness. Mm-hmm. And so I'd highly recommend that book. It'll hit all the major points that need to be hit in order to hopefully turn this around for Barbara.
Good luck, Barbara. And check out the Mastering Happiness podcast with Dr. Joel Wade. He has an episode on procrastination coming up. He addresses different virtues and just facets of life in each episode, and it's great personal development. So check that out.
Let me say something about Dr. Joel Wade, who's one of my dearest friends. I met him through Nathaniel Brandon.
He
was Nathaniel's protege, basically. Mm. He's a psychologist that Nathaniel passed the torch to in that area in the same way he passed the torch to me.
That's
sort of
right.
Philosophically.
I didn't even put that together.
And Pat Gintempo. So Joel's my brother. And Joel, you know, is one of the greatest sources of Nathaniel's continuing work. Just like I feel like the Lifebook program is me carrying Nathaniel's torch.
Yes.
Joel's work is the same, and so is Pat Gintempo's work. So
that's great.
It's the three musketeers here.
It's fantastic. A little shorter one for you guys today. Sorry about that. We got to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's great to be back in the studio. Can't wait till the next time.
Me too, man. All take right. care, everybody.
Everybody out there, you know what to do. Follow us on the VIP Facebook page. Send in your questions every month. We love hearing from you. This is John Butcher and Jordan Rivers signing off, saying thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.